The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The reason he could say that was because he is the resurrection and the life. And whosoever lives and believes in him shall never die. That is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus today. And that is why, as we've gathered for this memorial service, a time of thanksgiving to remember the life of our sister Nora, not a time of mourning, though there is sadness in the departure of a loved one. And when we think about mourning and sadness, well, it is because of the fact that death is final. We will not see that loved one again on this earth. But there is not sorrow as there is for those who have no hope beyond death. There is everlasting hope for the child of God. There is everlasting peace and purpose to life because we are found in Christ. That is the message, the Christian gospel message that we proclaim today. It's the message that Nora believed in. It's the hope that she possessed. And I trust today, friend, that you also will possess that very same hope. And so we welcome you today to this memorial service. At 10:15 this morning, we were at the Elgin Mills Cemetery, where we had the interment service. It was a solemn time. It is always a solemn time when you see a loved one committed to the ground. It is the end to which all of us in this flesh will go to, some sooner than later. We must be prepared. We must be ready. Yet today now we come for this time of thanksgiving, of praise, of reflecting on the memories of a loved one so close and dear to so many. And on behalf of the family, I want to welcome you today and thank you for your support for them as well. Let me make two announcements for you, please. At the end of this service, the family wants to invite you to the basement where there is food, lunch provided, mainly for the time of fellowship, the time where you can meet and talk with the family and renew friendship and fellowship with others. So please, if you're able, you're welcome to stay. And then also, the service now is being recorded, and it will be uploaded on our church website Thursday, so that will be tomorrow evening. And you can find that at sermonaudio.com/Toronto. So if you can remember that word, sermonaudio.com/Toronto, and then you'll be able to come directly to our web page and you can see the service and you can download it then if you choose to do that. Please take your program and turn to the opening hymn, "How Great Thou Art." This song has been a favorite for Christians for many years, and the reason is because it exalts the Lord. It speaks about the might and the power, the omnipotence of the God we serve. And so we in testimony say, "Lord, how great is the God that we serve." Please stand as we sing. Thank you. bow with me in prayer. Our loving God and our Father, we bow today in thy holy presence, in the name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus. And we come, Father, to this special memorial service, and we stand in need of the presence and help of thee, our Father, of our Savior, and of the Holy Spirit. We need help, Lord, to speak right. We need help, dear Father, to sing with our hearts in praise. Help as the Word of God is read, as those who will give tribute and sing and minister in song. And Lord, as the Word of the living God is opened, I pray that our hearts would also be opened. Dear Father, today, pour out your comfort and blessing upon those that stand in need. Dear Lord, we pray for the family that have lost a loved one so dear. And dear Father, we pray that they will know the Savior standing by them, the Savior standing to comfort them now. And Lord, the finality of death, well, it is something that we must live with, for the loved one will never return to this earth. And Lord, we pray that as we make preparation for our day of death, that we will do so, Lord, with full knowledge of the Word of Christ, full knowledge of the purpose for which He came to save men and women from sin, the full purpose of knowing that because Christ lives today in the power of an endless life, we have hope for eternity, hope that goes beyond the grave, hope, O God, that we will be forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. So therefore, give us joy this afternoon, we pray. Comfort those who have suffered this loss. And dear Lord, we pray that for the friends and family that have gathered in to share in the mourning and yet share in the thanksgiving and rejoicing for this life, Lord, may it be a time of happiness, though mixed with sorrow. So be with us now, we pray today, and watch over us. In the Savior's precious name we ask. Amen. Please listen to some selected readings from the Word of God. Well, it is always appropriate in any time of life, but most certainly under these circumstances. It's written in the book of Job. In God's hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to be born, a time to die, time to weep, a time to laugh, and a time to mourn. Moses wrote in Psalm 90, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It is better, said Solomon, to go into the house of mourning than into the house of feasting. For this is the end of all flesh. For Peter said, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the gospel that is preached unto you. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are the words of the living God in his book. May they be a blessing to you. Let me say a word of sincere condolence on behalf of our own congregation here to the entire family. We have known Nora and Richard for many, many years now. They've been in attendance in the church. We have so enjoyed their fellowship. We have held very closely to our heart our sister Nora, and we have prayed much for her during the times of her illness and struggling with cancer. And for 20 years she has been battling this disease, and the Lord has given to her a measure of healing, a measure of strength, though she has also gone through degrees of suffering. There is no doubt about that. And yet today the suffering has ended, and Nora is at peace with the Lord. And we want to bring our sincere condolences to our brother Richard and to Selena. We are praying for you, dear, and we want you to know our heart. And we also pray for Richard's sister, Jessie, and also Cheng. And also we think of Nora's sisters and brother, Peter, and Grace, and Maureen. Our hearts go out to you folks, and we pray for you. And the family and friends that have gathered, each one of you, it's a sense and a test of your appreciation and love for the family and for Nora. And the family greatly appreciates your time visiting with them today. We're going to have three tributes now brought by Maureen, Grace, and Peter. And then following that, they're going to also sing for us as well.
Dear friends and relatives, I am Nora's older sister, Maureen. Nora was the fifth child in our family of six, and she was one of five daughters. I would say that among the siblings, she was closest to me because our age difference was about 1 year apart. Before we became teenagers, Mom would sew similar dresses for both of us for Chinese New Year, and we would go visit relatives looking like twins. Not only that, we even had similar page boy hairdo, and Dad was our hairdresser. As we grew up, I noticed a penchant for dressing up meticulously. She was meticulous not only in the way she dressed, but also in her schoolwork and later when she worked as an adult. Richard was her colleague before she worked in the bank, and he had a sharp eye for beauty. So Nora was the fairest among the five sisters, and he quickly wooed her. And before the family knew it, Nora became Mrs. Chiu at the age of 22. Nora was not only known as Mrs. Chiu, she was also known as Miss Efficient wherever she worked. So she worked her way up to be secretary to the chairman of the then, the chairman of the Bank of Development Bank of Singapore, before she migrated to Canada in 1982. Those were the days before internet and smartphones, so she and I communicated via snail mail. Yes, we patiently wait for each other's mail, and we wrote and sent cards to each other regularly. My family and I came to visit Nora and Richard subsequently for the first time in 1988. And just before our visit, I received news that she had pre-malignant cancer of the breast. She went through an operation and was okay until 2013, when she lost both breasts to cancer. And the rest is history. Though most of us remember Nora as someone who was chatty and had a robust laughter, my elder sister Adeline remembered her as a quiet little girl. Indeed, before she started schooling, she used to follow Mum around the house with a pacifier in her mouth. Yes. And my sister Adeline wants to add that her latest memory of Nora, especially during her last visit to Singapore, was her loud and contagious bubbly laughter, notwithstanding her illness. My second sister, Hedy, remembers bringing little sister Nora for her neighborhood adventure while Mom was busy with household chores. Nora, Hedy recalls, also participated as a pen dancer during the Singapore Second National Day celebration. She also participated in subsequent National Day celebration. More recently, when Nora became very ill, Hedy communicated with her on Skype to encourage and pray with her. Yes, Nora, we have all these fond memories of you, and many more which time will not permit us to tell you now. But right now, we thank God, our Father, for working with you through these years, be they good or bad. The joy of the Lord had been her strength as she fought the good fight to the end. As Asians, we rarely use the word love in our communication. But today, we, your siblings, want to say this. We love you dearly, Nora, and you will live in our hearts until we all meet again in heaven. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Grace. I'm the younger sister of Nora. We are like 7 years apart. Before I start, I'd just like to thank all of you, especially those, you know who you are. And Nora has called you angels without wings, because you've always been with her and our family were not so near. Nora left Singapore in 1982. I recall vividly at Changi Airport, Nora was with Selena, then she was like 4 years old, and Selena was like tugging at her waist. And they were leaving Canada to start a new life. I thought that was very brave of her because she was she never kind of stepped out of Singapore, and Canada is really far. I recall Nora in her teenage years. Because I was little, right, so I was just watching my sisters. And Nora, she was so full of life. She was fair, slim, and had long brown hair like Selena's. My other sister, Maureen, who just came up just now, and Nora, they used to party together. I was little, they were teenagers, so I was just always like watching. And my dad was their guardian angel. He made sure they were home by 9 p.m. before the party begins. So we always laughed about it. My dad would just go to the party and say, "You come home." And I thought that was funny. Nora loved dancing. I remember watching her doing the agogo dance. I'm telling you a little bit of what I saw as a child, and Nora was a teenager. And she choreographed the dance together with my cousin, Freda. They were about the same age. They dressed in their black and white retro outfits and dangling earrings, and they made public appearance on stage. And I thought, wow, she's such a cool sister. You know, she's my older sister. There's an incident that touched me very much. I don't think anybody knows about this. Okay, she gave me a present, and that was rare during those times. This was like in the 70s, probably. And she gave me this red pencil box with a magnetic cover. It was like super special to me. And it was not for any occasion. It wasn't like Christmas or my birthday, but she gave it to me. And I guess on hindsight, she bought it with the first paycheck. So that really touched me, and it still does, because it's like a special gift that came from her heart, you know. Nora loved singing. On her last trip in 2014, she was in Singapore. We held a farewell dinner, come karaoke, and guess what? She was the first one to jump on stage. She was singing and dancing despite back aches. She said it helped reduce the pain on the back. And we have the video that will be always very special, and we'll always keep it. I admired Nora for her resilience and perseverance in situations that many of us may find daunting. She gave up her job to take care of Richard, and this requires much faith in God. And in not so many words, that is her love and dedication for her husband Richard. I knew for a fact that Nora fought with full determination for Richard's medical case, and she succeeded. I'm sure it was a grueling experience, but it never drained her spirit. In 2013, Nora went through a double mastectomy, but never once did she complain about the pain or the fear that she was going through. Despite the bandage and tubes hanging down her side, because she left the ICU after one day, they had the double mastectomy, and the next day ICU, and then she went back. She was concerned about myself and Maureen. And thereafter a week, she insisted we join her for dinner with her old cell group. And to top this, a couple of days later, she arranged for us to have a mini picnic and come Niagara Falls visit. And I was thinking like, oh wow, she's still with bandage, you know. But that is my dear sister Nora, who puts herself before others. In 2015, Richard emailed me about the severity of Nora's situation, and I'm glad I came to Canada again to spend time with Nora, although mostly in the hospital at Princess Margaret. Amazingly, as sick as she may be, she was always concerned about what we ate, and importantly, what we fed Richard with. What he eat, you know, this was typically Nora. Nora kept in frequent touch with me via WhatsApp and in our conversation. Never once was she embittered with God about what she was going through. She was confident where she was going, and she was ready. She kept telling me, I'm ready to go home with the Lord. Her only prayer request, when I asked her, like, do you have a prayer request? You know, I've got church and I've got cell and all that. And she'll say, yeah, I request. My only prayer request is no pain. I think God in His mercy and grace acknowledged this. He gave her a high threshold for pain. And I understand from what I hear from friends here that she suffered mostly discomfort more than pain. As in Psalms 23:4, even though Nora walked through the valley of the shadow of death, she feared no evil. For she knows that the Lord's rod and staff, they comfort her, they guide her, and they protect her. And in John 4:12, we are comforted, as Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's what Jesus said. So now I know Nora is in heaven with a new body, probably like when she was 16 years old, and in a beautiful place called heaven. She's probably in the worship team in heaven, singing and dancing in a new body. We will miss you, Nora, but we will rejoice with you because you are in a better place, in the mansion God promised and prepared for you. Thank you for the memories, Nora.
Good afternoon, friends and relatives. My name is Peter. I'm the elder brother of Nora. I'm Nora's elder brother in a family of six, actually seven. We had a brother who passed away during infant. Excluding him, Nora was the fifth and
I'm the third in the family. Our family does love, I mean, our family loved music, so did Nora. I recall very vividly, it's like yesterday, though it was half a century back, you know. I was 16 and she was 12. She loves singing and dancing. And like what Grace said, she did agogo very well. Our family were active participants in a small estate called Princess Elizabeth Estate. We call it, in short, PEE Community Estate. And she participated in these community center events. I think it was a National Day event. And she, together with my cousin Frida, or her cousin Frida, did the agogo on stage. I was very impressed. She did the choreography and herself. What a talent, you know. She was 12, I was 16. She also had this creativity, you know, this is something that I can remember very clearly, very vividly. She made use of the sleeve bag made of plastic net for packing onions, you know. And turned them into their gloves. You know, she watched singers wearing gloves, net, you know. And she turned them into gloves, so she's very creative in that sense. Don't forget then, Singapore was in the third world, and we couldn't afford that kind of glove for it. She could have been spotted, you know, as a potential candidate for Singapore Got Talent, actually. Nora is a simple person to me. And many will agree, her laughter is contagious, like both of my sisters said. She doesn't hold back when she laughs. I can see that Selena has laughter as well. And I like it. I like it, actually. Laughter is the best medicine. The last time we spent time together when she was in Singapore was more than a year ago. And a couple of lunches I had with her and God's blessing, my mom as well, all went well. We had a good time. We communicated a lot through WhatsApp, you know. And here, my only regret is that I was to have come in May and then July, but had to postpone for one reason or another. The last time I was here, it was in 1991. That was 30 years. My daughter Melissa and her fiancé were here last year and both speak very well of Nora and Richard. They love both of them. And knowing her condition, Melissa, my daughter, kept on persuading me to come and see her. Soon, both daughters even offered to push me. They thought I couldn't afford to fly here. So they got me a ticket, and here I am. Goodbye, my dear sister. We love you. We know you are in a new home called heaven. In the loving arms of our Lord Jesus. Thank you.
as Grace told you, when Nora went back to Singapore, we went dinner, and Nora was the first to jump on stage to karaoke away. And among the songs that she sang was Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And so today we'll do this song in memory of her.
We're speaking about their memories and thoughts of a loved sister. I'm sure that those of you who knew Nora would have also entered into those things. Thank you very much for those and for that ministry and song as well. On your bulletin, you will see a verse of scripture at the bottom of the inside page. It's taken from the book of Psalms 61, or 62 rather, and the sixth verse. This verse is significant to me because Thursday morning, afternoon, that Nora passed away, down in the hospital with the family, and Nora had slipped into unconsciousness. That morning she was speaking, though weary, tired. Yet when we came there to the hospital, she was breathing with difficulty and was in, well, we could just say a sleeping state. As we read a psalm, Richard said, well, Psalm 62 is her favorite one. And so as we read that through, this verse really stood out to me as I was preparing for our time today. Psalm 62, verse 6, what does it say? That God only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And I want you to think on that phrase, I shall not be moved. This is God's word. Nora could say, I shall not be moved. What does that mean to us today? When we think about security, certainty, someone being unmovable, what type of person can with confidence utter that today? Is it someone who is on Bay Street or Wall Street with the uncertainty and instability of the markets? Is it the young person who is commencing university, thinking that when they graduate, there will be waiting for them that ideal job that they have dreamed for? What about the couple starting out married life, imagining that their marriage will be immune from all the stresses of life? Will that person be unmoved? How about the man who has prepared well for his retirement, taking care of RRSPs and all of the other investment details, thinking that when I retire, I will travel, I'll relax, I'll enjoy the years of my investment, only to find out that that medical test revealed a terminal illness? All things change. Not so unmovable as maybe you thought. So you are saying, preacher, that the only thing in this world that is secure and certain is insecurity and uncertainty. Those two things abide. Yes, in one sense, that is exactly what I'm saying. Because money is a false security. Wealth and investments, they make themselves wings and they fly away and they're gone. And the thing that you would have thought was your security for many years, you find it's not something that I can depend on. Health, we have it one day and the next day it's gone. Nora's situation is so direct to us. The hope of a good education, providing a great job, that's often a myth for people. It doesn't materialize. And the happy marriage, well, sadly, it ends in divorce too often. You see, in this world, there is so much disappointment. There are sorrows. There are problems. Problems that are higher than a mountain. So you ask, is there any hope at all? Is there any reason for living? And friends, I say this to you solemnly today, because that is the outcome of many people when they are faced with the insurmountable problems of this life. They think, is there any point going on? Is there any real reason for living? What is the purpose of my life? Why am I here? Is there some greater cause to my existence than just going through the motions of life and work from Monday to Friday and making my money and buying a house, getting a car, having a family, and then what? Is there any reason for me to be secure? And yet David said, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Did it mean that he never experienced troubles in his life? Well, if you know anything about the history of this man, you will know his life was full of troubles. He had family troubles. He had relational problems. He had difficulties and battles that were on the inside and that were on the outside. And yet he could still say, I shall not be moved. What did he mean when he said this? This is helpful for us to find out what the reason behind it. Did he mean that the thing that really mattered, that really counted, was his soul? That was something beyond this life's experiences? Yes, I believe we're getting at the core of the meaning of what David said. You see, he had peace in his heart. He had power on earth because he trusted in the God of eternity. And he knew that the earth was not his home and that he was going to be in glory with his God when it came to the end. So the thing that really counted for David was that he was found in God, in the Lord. And he said, in result of that, I shall not be moved. But can we ask the question simply today, why is that? Why is it that David could say, I shall not be moved? Our text has the answer because he said, God only is my rock. God only is my rock. Therefore, I shall not be moved. Now, a rock pictures for us stability. How stable is that person that stands upon God as his foundation, as his rock? He cannot be moved. And those that know in the Lord and trust in him and believe in him are eternally secure from what? From the judgment, my friend, that is to come. Eternally secure and shall never be moved and never be found in a lost eternity because their God is the God of eternity, the one they have put their trust and their confidence in. You know, Hannah in the Old Testament, she prayed, I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. He will keep the feet of his saints because they are standing upon him. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. But David said, he only is my rock. In other words, David did not have any confidence outside of the living God. He trusted in him, and he knew that the Lord God of heaven, who had created him and had formed his ways and providentially oversaw what he was doing, he said, that is my God, and I am trusting in him. You know, there are religions many today in the world. There are gods many, multiplied. But David said, there is one true and living God, and he is my God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and I know him, and I believe in him, and I love him, and he is my rock upon whom I am standing. Friend, there is no solid footing on any other ground but standing on the ground of the God of the Bible. That is exactly where Nora placed her faith. Her faith was in the Lord, and she could not be moved from that strong foundation. Oh, we are here today for this memorial service, and some might say, yes, but Nora suffered cancer. Yes, but she succumbed to that. Yes, but today she has died. And all these things are on the human perspective. They're on the horizontal line. But if we lift our eyes heavenward to the vertical plane, we see that the God that Nora worshipped is the God that had placed her feet firmly upon himself. And she stood there, and her eternal soul, which, my friend, is the most important part of you, the most important part of me, that soul would never be moved. But David went on to say that I shall not be moved, not only because God is my rock, but because he is my salvation. So we begin to put these two things together. If God is my strong rock, he also becomes my salvation. Now I have a twofold place to plant my feet upon. As the hymn writer said, on Christ the solid rock I stand, for all other ground is sinking sand. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the foundation stone of our faith. The Apostle Paul said, other foundation can no man lay than Christ Jesus. This is the simple and yet profound security that Nora had. She was trusting and standing and resting upon her Lord Jesus, and she knew Him. Friend, you see, being certain in your eternal soul is to be secure and certain in God. It's nothing about your physical ability. It's not about your intelligence. It's not about your personal ability, not about your beauty. It's not about the fact that you're either smart or successful. None of those things matter, because all those things are temporal. The most important thing for you to know today is, where do you stand with God? And are you standing upon the rock of eternal salvation? Is Christ Jesus your living Savior today? Or are you standing on sinking sand? Jesus Christ told a very simple story about two men, two houses, and two types of ground. The one man built his house upon the rock. He had a solid foundation. And when the wind blew, and the rains came, and the floods came, that man's house stood firm because it was on the solid rock. But he told about the other man who built his house upon the sand. And when the storm came, the exact same storm that happened to the man who built his house upon the rock, when that storm came, his house collapsed because there was no solid foundation. And my friend, your eternal soul needs to be built upon the solid foundation. Because if it is, then you will know that you are secure. And when David said, I will never be moved, because if God is my rock and my salvation, He also has become my defense, the one to protect me against all the forces that are coming against a child of God. And with God as my defense, I am able to, as the hymn writer wrote, smile at the storm that's going to come. You know, we are no match for the devil and satanic powers, because he is supernatural and we are human, natural. The Apostle Paul said that we wrestle or struggle or fight not against flesh and blood. It's not against the human powers that is the big struggle, but he said against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What can we do to defend ourselves against such forces? Humanly speaking, there is nothing we can do. But in Christ, we are protected. He is our great defender. And when we stand secure in Him, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For nothing, the Apostle Paul said, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. Neither powers of things present, nor of things yet to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. My friend, God is our rock and our salvation and our defense. And we shall never be moved. And that was Nora's hope. That is what she believed in. And that today is the answer to the life, to the need of the soul. And so that today she is free from pain. She is at peace with her God. Is that your testimony this afternoon, friend? Do you have the peace of God in your heart? Do you know the Lord? He has said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If Nora was standing here today, I believe this is the message that she would want her loved ones and friends and family members to know. She would want you to say, come to Christ. She would want you to know, repent of your sin, because that's the only way that you will know that you will never be moved. You will have eternal security for your soul because you are standing upon God. You are standing on the rock of your salvation, and you will have that everlasting defense. Let's bow in prayer. Father, today, as we have heard these testimonials and we have heard the word of the living God now, Father, bless that word to every heart. For those who are still unsaved, speak now, Lord, we pray, and open their hearts. And as we rejoice in the life testimony of a dear sister in Christ, Lord, we are thankful for her life. We're thankful for what she was able to accomplish for the Savior, for the testimony that she left, not perfect, but it was a testimony of grace, a testimony of her love of God. Help us, therefore, today to remember with rejoicing all these matters. Hear our prayers now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we're going to sing that second hymn on your bulletin. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's stand, please, to sing. Just dismiss us in prayer and then give thanks for the time of fellowship downstairs. Let us all pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for this service, for the memories that have been shared, for the life that has been lived, for the hope in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thankful for this testimony and this word of comfort that Jesus is our rock.
He is our salvation. He is the defender of His people, our provider, our all in all. And it is to Him we look this day. We pray for continued comfort for the family. Be with the family circle. Be with Richard and Selena. Be with the brothers and sisters. Be with the wider family circle. Lord, come very near. Grant them the help and comfort, the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, to show them the things of Christ, to open the Word to them, that they would draw solace and comfort from the living Word of God. So be with us now. We give thanks for our time together. We pray that You would bless the fellowship time to follow, bless the food to our bodily use, strengthen us by it, we pray. We give thanks in Jesus' precious name.
Thank you, folks. We're going to allow the family to exit first of all, and you can be seated if you like, and then make your way, please, either way down the wings, downstairs to the fellowship hall, and at that time we can have some fellowship together.